Network. This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Rockets on Friday slammed into the Iraqi oil ministry and two central Baghdad hotels used by Western contractors and journalists, wounding several people. Three rockets had hit the oil ministry, which was ablaze, police said. Guests evacuated the Sheraton and Palestine hotels, located in a fortified compound near the Tigris River, after the buildings were hit by rockets. Guests saw shards of glass and fragments of plaster and concrete scattered across the floors. Witnesses said the hotels said they had seen several people with at least light wounds. A security guard said two people had been taken to the hospital. A suicide car bomber killed at least four people near the offices of a leading Kurdish party in northern Iraq Thursday, hours after two others were killed in a car bombing west of Baghdad. The bombings near the Kirkuk offices of the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, whose leader is currently head of Iraq's U.S.-appointed governing council, and a local council in Ramadi appeared to target the American-led occupation. A U.S. soldier was also killed near Ramadi when a bomb was detonated as a convoy drove past, a military spokesman said. The soldier was the 180th to be killed in action since major combat was declared over on May 1st. George W. Bush left open the possibility of sending more American troops to Iraq, but said security on the ground would be the deciding factor. Two London-based Arabic-language publications said Sunday that they had received separate statements asserting al-Qaeda's responsibility for the suicide bombings near two Istanbul synagogues that killed 23 people and injured 303. A group linked to al-Qaeda said in an email to the daily Al-Quds Al-Arabi newspaper that it conducted the bombings in Istanbul on Saturday and that al-Qaeda planned attacks in other countries, including the United States. The email message said the two synagogues in Istanbul were targeted because al-Qaeda believed Israeli Mossad agents were inside. The missive also cited Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories as motive for the attacks.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
Michigan police found a baby crocodile during a drug raid in Jackson County. The one-foot crocodile was found Thursday in an aquarium in the house, the Jackson Citizen Patriot reported. Police confiscated the reptile along with 7 grams of crack cocaine and a semi-automatic handgun. Two people who lived in the house were charged in a related drug case that led to the search. For IE America Radio Network News, this is Don Waller in New York. Have a great weekend.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Chopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
It's time for another chapter of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. Rich people have problems too. For example, what's the use of being rich if you can't be pampered? Yet there's little to no respect for wealthy people who wallow around in luxury. So imagine the agony of the rich as they wrestle with ways to be pampered without being ridiculed for it. Take corporate jets. Your top CEOs don't travel first class. They travel their class in private jets. No lines, no wanding of their private parts, no mingling with us peons. Their new favorite is Gulfstream's G450 jet, which will fly 8 passengers 5,000 miles nonstop and PDQ. Price tag, $33 million. But that's stripped bare. You get a flyable plane for $33 million, but no interior. No seats, wall coverings, washroom, carpet, storage bins, etc. It takes another $3 or $4 million to have your plane outfitted, with an emphasis on soft and plush. Deerskin sleep seats, mahogany cabinets, Persian carpets, muted lighting, flat-screen video displays with surround sound systems, walk-in showers, and, of course, 24-karat gold plating for the fixtures. As one jet maker puts it, the finishes and furnishings should look more like the interior of a multi-million-dollar home than an airplane. Yes, but what are the small shareholders and the workers to think? They see these flying mansions as nothing but extravagant toys for over-pampered executive fat cats. CEOs get cranky when asked about this, but now they've devised a carefully crafted response. A jet encourages in-flight productivity, they claim, asserting that it's just another work tool, like a carpenter's lathe or a schoolteacher's book bag. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it takes Persian carpets and gold fixtures to be productive, why don't they provide these for all workers?
Have this representative sampling from yesterday addressed to Dudley Do-Right.
Yes, sir, Inspector!
You must be a miserable person. You think everybody is out to screw you. You don't like the Republicans, George W., government authority, police, fire, CIA, FBI, NSA, phone companies, airlines, successful people. The list goes on and on and on and on and on.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border on terrestrial radio stations, on the Sirius Satellites radio system, Stream 145, and also broadcasting all around the planet. Verified listeners now in 91 countries. On radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, live365.com, and with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find all of that at tomhartman.com. The links off of there will lead you to our chat room where there's already a discussion underway. Just click the chat room link and it'll take you to a form on CompuServe. Click the chat button and boom, you're in. Or to our message boards, where you can have interesting discussions with folks literally all over the planet on a wide variety of topics. The Patriot Act expansion is moving through Congress. Did you get this? This is the top headline on CommonDreams.org. By the way, I have a column on Common Dreams that went up yesterday. It's the fifth one down, I think, about a topic that we talked about earlier in the week, which was, is American common law founded in the and grounded in the Ten Commandments and biblical code, or did American common law actually precede Christianity coming to England? And you can read Thomas Jefferson's explicit and exact words on that topic, and Ben Franklin's, and John Adams, and James Madison's at commondreams.org. Anyhow, the main headline in CommonDreams.org today is Patriot Act expansion moves through Congress. Congress is poised to approve new legislation that amounts to the first substantive expansion of the controversial USA Patriot Act since it was approved just after the September 11, 2001 attacks on New York and the Pentagon. This a report that they picked up from OneWorld.net. A House Senate Conference Committee just approved this thing. And what it will do, this expansion of the Patriot Act, and it was not, and by the way, they pointed out that there were 13, as I recall, 15 conservative Republicans who bolted on this. And so it only passed, only, by a vote of 263 to 163. But this measure would allow the FBI to seize records
from banks and credit unions, security dealers, currency exchanges, travel agencies, car dealers, post offices. You thought that they were just in the library, right? Casinos, pawnbrokers, and any other business that the government decides has a, quote, high degree of usefulness in criminal, tax, or regulatory matters, which, you know, could be the government has a way of coming up with, well, anything we say is what we mean, you know, and all that sort of thing. And I mean, what has happened to the Fourth Amendment? The right of the people to be secure in their persons, in other words, to have privacy in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the person or things to be searched. This administration is gutting the Bill of Rights. 227 years American democracy has worked, and they are taking it apart. Absolutely mind-boggling. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. It's Friday. I've got a whole bunch of news things here. I've got a couple topics I want to talk about. One, workers' rights and human rights. Another real significant one being, and a big one, I think, is what's really up with this thing with regard to the economy having to do with the dollar falling, the trade deficits changing. I know it sounds, you know, erudite and complicated. I want to boil it down, make it simple, and so that at least I can understand it, and give you some insights into what I think is going on with this, and what you can do about it. I mean, how you can actually use this to your benefit, or at least protect yourself from the downside of this. And then also at 1 o'clock today, for a short while, for 20, 30 minutes at the most, we're going to have on Tom Tomorrow, the author of the comic book strip, and he's got a new book out, The Great Big Book of Tomorrow. So that's our day. But you're welcome to call in anytime. Friday, open lines, anytime, any topic. And, in fact, Mark in Dallas is on the line and with a comment. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hi, Tom. How you doing?
I'm alive and kicking. How about you, Mark?
Well, that's about where I'm at as well. This is actually a comment based on a guest you had yesterday. I think it was Chuck. And he was a conservative, and he was talking about how government is always evil and wastes money and is inefficient.
Yeah, yeah, that's their mantra.
Right. Well, just a quick story. The FAA has a position open that I'm applying for, and the position announcement closed yesterday. So I dutifully went to my local overnight package carrier, which will remain nameless, on Wednesday the 19th, to give them my package with my application and resume to send to the FAA to meet the closing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, needless to say, the super large corporate, super efficient claimed company failed to deliver not only in the morning but in the afternoon.
Oh, my.
So I spent yesterday evening basically shaming this corporation into providing a mea culpa this morning to the FAA personnel office so that I could get consideration and have my package received and put in the system to compete for the job.
Right.
Had I not worked overtime to shame these people into do it, probably no explanation would ever be given.
Yeah.
But here's the good news. All of my dealings with the FAA personnel office have been positive.
Mm-hmm.
They listened to what I said. They understood. And once they received the mea culpa from the unnamed package carrier company, hey, no problem. We'll take care of you.
Oh, that's nice. I mean, the reality is that there are good, well-intentioned, competent, hardworking people in the corporate world and in the government world.
Mm-hmm.
And there are screw-ups, gold-brickers, and thieves in both worlds.
In both worlds, you got it.
The big difference is that in the corporate world, number one, first of all, there are all these layers of and ways that the thieves can essentially get away with theft. And look at Enron and things like that. I mean, can you imagine what would happen if a civil servant had embezzled, had walked off with 15 or 20 or $100 million from a government agency? I mean, can you just imagine what would happen?
There'd be no end to the coverage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it would just be mind-boggling. And yet, look at, you know, Ken Lay with Enron and so on. So, you know, there's that difference. And the other difference, of course, the one that the conservatives always fail to notice,
mm-hmm.
is that Corporations are designed to make money, first and foremost, which is a fine thing. I'm all in favor of making money, and I'm all in favor of corporations. I'm not in favor of corporations being involved in politics. I mean, there's just, in my mind, there's just this clear, bright red line between the two.
You bet.
And corporations being chartered to make money, it is at odds with the idea of protecting our commons. Our commons, you know, our air, our water, our federal aviation system, you know, the commons of our transportation system, our railway system, I would like to see protected by agencies that are not designed to make money, but that are designed to do those specific jobs.
And as you're probably well aware, one of the things the Bush administration is doggedly working for is to try to privatize the air traffic control system.
Oh, I know. They're not just doggedly working. They're doing it. They've been doing it since Ronald Reagan in little tiny bits and pieces. But now they're aggressively doing it. You're absolutely right. And this whole privatization thing is just, this is just this giant scam.
You got it.
That this administration has been running from day one to hand more and more of your and my common property. It's where the word commonwealth came from, like the commonwealth of Massachusetts, or the commonwealth of the United States, our common assets over to individuals, stockholders in corporations so that they now own and operate and take our tax dollar rather than us. And it is wrong. It is not the American way. It is not consistent with democracy. It is anti-democratic. It is the definition by Benito Mussolini's own words of fascism. It is wrong. It is and it is a crime against America.
And
what
as
these cons are doing.
And as you've eloquently said in the past, you lose transparency and oversight once you do that.
That's absolutely right.
Because corporations operate in secret.
Yep. Well, thanks for the story, Mark. Good to hear that the FAA is on their toes doing their job and that you were able to shame the unnamed corporation. although we have to acknowledge, I think we can all assume that it was at least one of two big corporations that we all know of and that both of them, I mean, you know, I have contact with these companies regularly and have for years. They have good people working for them. I think they're both union shops. I know UPS is. I think FedEx is. You know, they try their best, but their job is to make money.
And it's a little.
And the post office doesn't always get things overnight when they're supposed to, too. I mean, I don't think that, you know, one example means corporations are evil, but the defining the purpose of these things, that's where it gets important.
You
thanks for the call, Mark. Thanks for the call. Have a great weekend. I think, whoever's running our board there chopped you off a little bit in mid-sentence. But I appreciate the call. And thank you very much for calling in. Why aren't people joining unions? This is a big one. One of the basic human rights declared by the United Nations in the United Nations Declaration on Human Rights was the right to organize labor. Corporations have been claiming since the 15th century when the corporate form first started to emerge, and some would argue that the corporate form goes back to Rome, but the modern corporation really emerged with the Dutch trading companies in the 15th century, and as we know it today, the limited liability corporation emerged big time in the late 1500s, when Queen Elizabeth I financed Sir Francis Drake's, the Golden Hind, his exploration around the world, made a 5,000% return on her investment. And then in December, as I recall, on December 31st of the year 1600, maybe it was December 1st, anyway, the year 1600, Queen Elizabeth I authorized 200 and some odd, 237 is the number that sticks in my head, but a little more than 200 individuals, which included her and a whole bunch of members of the House of Lords to create, or a parliament, what was then parliament, to create a for-profit corporation called the British East India Company. That's where it began. So corporations have been claiming the right to organize since 1600. And the UN now says individual humans, labor should have the right to organize. Why isn't more of it happening in America? Let's get into that right after this break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Talk radio for the rest of us.
Women over 50 and men over 40 are waking up to a surprising fact. They're already at risk of a heart attack. Because of age and other risk factors, doctors often recommend Bayer low-dose aspirin as part of a routine to help prevent a heart attack. Bayer is the leading aspirin brand, and taking Bayer for your heart is easy. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen and ask about adding Bayer to your routine for many more great days ahead. Trust your heart to Bayer.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Okay, here we go. That Comic Book Show promo, take one. From the depths of Schroeder's parents' basement, That Comic Book Show.
Can I get your boys anything?
Mom, we're trying to do a promo for our show. Didn't you see the light on?
Oh, I'm sorry, honey, I didn't see it. But anyway, would you boys like something or not?
Will you just leave us alone, please? We're working against a deadline here. And no, we would not like anything.
Okay, then I'll leave you two boys alone.
Okay, where were we?
Dude. I wish I was your dad.
Why?
I promise you won't be mad at me now. But I gotta tell you something. Man, your mom is hot!
Dude!
Man, she's smoking, dude!
Knock it off!
Whoa!
Oh, will you just shut up?
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Come on!
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Will you come down from your ivory tower? You will see how it really must be. When you come down,
and welcome back, moving toward a void in and sparkling future by returning democracy to the USA. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Why aren't people joining unions? 40 million Americans said they would join a union tomorrow if they could. 13 million are actually in the unions. If you are a union worker, you typically earn 26% more than workers who are not in unions. And there is this thing called the union effect, even in those shops where you have some people are union workers and some aren't, or in communities where you've got strong union presence and you've got a lot of businesses that are not union businesses, the presence of the union jobs will raise the average salary all around. So there, and unions are also, union employees are also more likely to have health and pension benefits. And I know right now I can hear the conservatives out there going, ah, yes, if they pay them more money and that means that the price of goods is going to go up. Oh, my God. And yeah. Yeah, as Ben Cohen demonstrated and talked about on this program, when they put together their anti-sweatshop sweatshop out in Los Angeles, a union operated enterprise, they discovered that to make a T-shirt, to make a $10 T-shirt overseas in China or Malaysia or Indonesia or like that, there was maybe 12, 13, 15 cents worth of labor in it. And if they made it in the United States, it might cost as much as 25, 35, 40. If they paid people health benefits and whatnot, it might even be 50 cents worth of labor. In other words, the labor cost might have tripled. From 15 or 20 or 30 cents up to 50 cents. But basically it was an extra quarter. I mean, that's what it came down to. And so the question they asked themselves was, are people willing to pay $10.25 for a $10 T-shirt that was made by American labor? So that the employees could have a decent standard of living and have health benefits and have job security, and have a retirement pension. That's what it comes down to. Yes, the cons are right when they say that increasing labor costs will increase product costs. Where they're wrong is saying that it will cause companies to not be competitive. When Nike started shifting their production offshore, that didn't make them more competitive. It made Phil Knight richer. It turned him into a billionaire. Have you seen the price of Nike shoes going down to $4 or $5, reflecting the cost of manufacture? I haven't. So, yeah, there are some examples where things are very cheap. I mean, you walk into Walmart and look at what it's doing to America. Look at this great leveling to the lowest common denominator around the world. It's extremely destructive. So the reality is that good union jobs that pay well may slightly raise the cost of products in a community, yet the ability of people to have added purchasing power is so much greater than the increase in the prices that the net effect is positive. And the proof of this, it is so obvious if you just look at the rise of unionism in the United States from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and the birth of the American middle class as a consequence of it. It's an absolute cause-effect relationship. And then as Reagan came in the 80s and the conservatives declared war on the unions, the middle class began to vanish. And now more and more people are sliding out of the middle class and into the working poor. Anyhow, I want to get through some of these stats and some of this information and what people can do about it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A 34-year-old oil spill still contaminates a Massachusetts marsh, and scientists are trying to find out why. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Dig a few inches into the marsh of West Falmouth, Massachusetts, and it's 1969. The diesel fuel that spilled into the marsh back then is still there, and it hasn't changed much over the course of the past three decades. Many of the old compounds in the marsh are still toxic to people and wildlife. Scientists are trying to find out why they won't go away and what this could mean for cleaning up other oil spills. Chris Reddy is an environmental chemist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He used a sensitive new technique to identify petroleum compounds in the marsh, and he found that there's almost no difference between the original diesel fuel and what's in the marsh today. He says he expected to find that these compounds had been broken down by microbes in the soil.
One of the big things right now in science is a term called natural attenuation, which basically means that Mother Nature can clean itself up. And there are some really good examples out there where it's happened. But in this case, at this one location, for some reason, the microbes that usually can eat some of these compounds have stalled.
Reddy says the microbes ate some of the compounds, but he says they have the capability to eat almost all of them. Reddy says it's important to figure out why the microbes stopped breaking down the oil residue at the Massachusetts marsh.
If we can understand what made them stall, and we can somehow add or help the bacteria, then we can help Mother Nature clean the spot up and potentially other locations.
Reddy is the lead author of an article on the West Falmouth spill that appeared last year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning. I'd a hammer in the evening, all over this land. I'd a hammer out danger. I'd a hammer out a warning.
Back to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman of the IE America Radio Network. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics. 1-800-511-MAX, as in Macintosh, M-A-C-S. That would be 1-800-511-6227. And by the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. Notice the Small Dog Electronics number is a 1-800-511-MAX, and the Organic Wine Company is the 1-888-ECO-WINE.
our sponsors of our program today, and grateful we are to them that they help us keep this program alive and on the air. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number if you'd like to call into the program. I want to get back to this union thing. We've got, I've got a clip from Charles Schumer I want to share with you, some interesting information about cell phones and consumer rights. But first we have Armin in Florida on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Hey, Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great, but I'll get better. What's up?
Okay. You know, I was sitting here thinking about the conservatives and, you know, their mantra, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, this...
cheap labor?
Well, not just that, but their privatization, you know, philosophy. And I'm sitting there, who has done more than the conservatives politically in this country to absolutely devastate and destroy the private unions that were... you know, built, made the middle class in this country, you know, the workers and the manufacturers.
Yeah, no, it's this is at the core of the conservative agenda. There's the guy, I forget his name now, we had him on the program, but he's got a great website called Conceptual Guerrilla, G-U-E-R-I-L-L-A, conceptualguerrilla.com, where he says you want to defeat conservatives, you want to understand conservatives, in two words, cheap labor. That's the bottom line of the whole thing. Even the religious agendas, even the moral agendas, they all ultimately break back down to controlling economic institutions to produce cheap labor.
Right, and I think when this country was far more balanced and more sustainable and more the America as we know it in modern times was probably in the 50s,
yeah.
And I think the top 1%, instead of owning 40% of all the wealth at that time, it was less than 20%, so there was much more give and take and much more balance in our evolution, socially
speaking.
Yeah,
and the top marginal tax rate was 90%.
Right, so I mean,
which helped keep that in place. I mean, that was I see that as a good thing, Armin.
I do too, Tom. I really do. And these conservatives, you know, I'm trying to figure out, you know, basically a lot of them politically. I think they're either, well, a lot of them are hypocrites, but they're delusional, or they're either liars, because like I said, nobody's destroyed the private unions of this country more than the conservatives. And what's really ironic about it is that same Congress, that same bunch up there, conservatives, as far as I know, none of them have those right-wing medical savings accounts. They all have the golden health insurance plans. Even DeLay, I don't think he has medical savings accounts. But what they preach for the rest of us, they don't want for themselves, and they wouldn't tolerate what they want us to tolerate from them, and they're our servants. And then they all unionize and give themselves fabulous wages. And why don't they ever come out on the steps of the Capitol and say, hey, we just raised our wages without asking you or putting our jobs up for bid like yours is every day in your life without protection like us. And we're not going to tell you how much more it's going to cost you. Why don't they talk about that? But a little guy that's making $5 an hour or a little gal and that really needs to be making 10 or 12 to where they can afford to not have a government and all those programs, then they're really free and independent to really have buying power and be in a free country and free people, you know, they do everything they can to devastate those people economically and pin them down and squeeze them to where they have to turn to the government. So
yep.
These people, they're just, you know, and then they can't.
And they have to turn to the government, and then you and I end up subsidizing those
right.
Corporations. I mean, we're subsidizing Walmart by providing welfare to people who can't earn a decent living, a decent
right.
Wage at Walmart. Armin, let me give you a phone number. 202-224-3121. That's the main switchboard at the House and Senate, at Congress, in Washington, D.C. 202-224-3121. You can call that number. They will tell you who your congressman or congresswoman, your representative is, or who your senators are, and you can ask to be connected directly to them. All you need is this one number, and you will connect right to them, and you will talk to a real human being on their staff, and you tell them what your concerns are. And then you call back and say, okay, now I want to talk to my other senator. And the number is 202-224-3121. And I'd like to suggest that you start out by telling your elected representatives that this continuing evisceration of our civil rights, of our Fourth Amendment rights of protection of privacy, and this expansion of the Patriot Act is absolutely unacceptable, and that you don't want them messing with organized labor anymore. Armin, thanks for the call. I appreciate your comments and well thought out, well said. You always have good factoids at your fingertips. I'm impressed. 202-224-3121 is the telephone number that you can call your member of Congress right now or anytime during the business day. So we've got 13 million people who are actually in unions, 40 million people who would like to join a union. However, a lot of people can't because of employer resistance. We find that, according to a Cornell University study, 90% of employers fight unionization. For the past 60 years, worker rights have been so systematically eroded that Human Rights Watch, this organization that travels around the planet looking at, you know, let's see what Mugabe is doing in Zimbabwe. Let's see what's going on here. Human Rights Watch is focusing on workers' rights in America as a violation, as a realm of violation of human rights. More than three-quarters of employers use employees' own supervisors to pressure them to avoid unions. 92% of employers force workers to attend anti-union propaganda meetings. Some will close plants to bust up unions or prevent them. Some even resort to violent union-busting tactics not seen since the turn of the last century. Current law does not protect workers enough right now. And this has to change. We have just a terrible mess here. Federal labor law protects unions' rights to join. Federal labor law protects your right to join a union. But corporations have found ways around the law. Even when employers are breaking the law, like firing workers, the penalties are just a slap on the wrist. Our current election process has been sabotaged by employers. By the union election process. The process is run by the National Labor Relations Board. There's a lengthy, clunky process that gives employers time to go in and manipulate workers. Employers, corporations can delay elections. They still control the workers' livelihoods throughout the process. They've got their hands around the workers' necks, and they have used this advantage to get their way. Even when workers elect to form a union, they aren't guaranteed a contract with an employer one-third of the time. Workers who vote for a union cannot negotiate a first contract because employers stall and prolong the bargaining process. Now, where this becomes relevant is that a law was introduced on November 13th, last week, by Ted Kennedy and Congressman George Miller of California. It's called the Employee Free Choice Act. And you remember that phone number I just gave you for Congress, 202-224-3121? Call and support this, the Employee Free Choice Act. Workers and lawmakers announced the introduction of legislation to let employees join unions without employer harassment. This law will allow employees to freely choose whether to join unions by signing cards authorizing union representation. Employers can only recognize a union after an election if there's a majority supporting the union. Basically, employers cannot break up a union before it's formed. See, that's what happens right now. Even before the union's formed, they're identifying these folks. You know, like Walmart, this kills the Walmart anti-union practices that they engage in when they smell a union brewing in a store. Now they'll have to wait until there actually is a union before they can force their employees to sit down and watch anti-union propaganda or have supervisors do one-on-one evangelical witnessing to employees or even fire people like they did the entire meat department in a store down in Texas. You remember that? This law would also provide for mediation and arbitration for first contract disputes. It requires mediation if contract has not been settled in 90 days. It prevents the employer practice of stalling negotiations. It'll establish stronger penalties for violations of employee rights. It increases monetary penalties 3 times for discrimination against employees for union activity. It gives employees equal power to request injunctions, which management has had all along. All along, corporations have had the ability to request an injunction, to ask a court to intervene and stop the process of employees unionizing. But employees have not had the right to request an injunction and stop an employer from trying to bust up their processes, their practices. This would give employees equal power with employers. There would be civil fines of $20,000 for violations of employees' statutory rights, and those violations would include threatening to close the workplace or move overseas if employees form a union. A violation of the law would be if a corporation manipulates employees' shifts, pay, or rank in retaliation for unionization. If a corporation is spying on employees who support a union, this is considered legal now because corporations have, you know, it is considered that when you go to work for a corporation, you surrender your Fourth Amendment right of privacy as soon as you walk in the door. No, this is going to say, no, you can't do that. Sorry, employer. And it would provide prohibit employers from prohibiting employees from wearing union buttons. And it would stop illegal firings. All of these, any of these things could trigger this $20,000 fine per event against the employer. December 10th coming up, International Human Rights Day. We'll deal with that in some detail on the December 10th. But this is the Employee Free Choice Act introduced last week by Ted Kennedy and George Miller. And the number for Congress is 202-224-3121. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our phone number here at the IE America Radio Network. This is Tom Hartman. It's 15 minutes before the hour. And David in Victoryville, California is on the line. Hey, David, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, what's up? It's Victorville.
Victorville. I'm sorry. Thank you.
In the Great Mojave Desert. No, it's cool.
The Great Mojave. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, we're in between Las Vegas and Los Angeles for those that want to look it up on a map.
Uh-huh.
Cool.
I've driven through there. That's amazing country.
Actually, it is. Should be here after the rains in the spring.
I drove through there. Actually, I drove through there. It must have been in May or June back in 1968.
Oh, really?
It's been a while.
Yeah, well,
I actually hitchhiked through there.
Yeah, people come from far and wide to see the wildflowers because you can see color for absolutely 20 miles.
Yeah, I've seen those photos in Arizona Highways magazine we used to get when I was a kid, and they had But anyway, that's not what you called about. Hey, David, what's up?
One thing I wanted to call about was the fiat money supply and the fiat economy, and I think this is the root of why, frankly, more people each year begin to get squeezed out of the system. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that simply is it's tied into the fact that production costs and so on and so forth, as well as the size of competition for the ever-increasing money supply, because the government continues to inflate the currency on a regular basis. Because of that, the money supply begins to be concentrated into fewer and fewer hands. And those hands usually typically...
Part of the reason. The main reason why the money supply gets concentrated into fewer and fewer hands is because economic power... As Thomas Jefferson warned about, economic power has risen up and seized political power, and laws and regulations are being passed every single day which give corporations the ability to hang on to more and more.
Right, that's correct. Through legislation, not law. There's a difference between legislation and law.
Well, legislation becomes law once it's signed into law.
Well, that's correct. But again, there are common laws and there are natural laws. You know, that are absolute, whereas legislation-wise, for example, when a congressman or a senator stand up and say that they want part of my income to give to somebody else for whatever reason, that's a legislative process that becomes a law, even though the law may not be just, if you follow me. Because
sure,
it isn't just...
Among a thousand other examples, yeah.
Right, sure. Well... But to come at me at the point of a gun and say that I have to pay for my neighbor's down the street broken leg, that's not a natural occurrence. That's not a natural law. For example,
well, let's back up a little bit, David. Let's say that you and I go into business together and you defraud me.
Correct.
Okay. You've committed a crime against me.
Sure.
And so now I go to the courts and I say, David has defrauded me. He's committed a crime. And so now they come to you at the barrel of a gun and say, we're going to enforce this contract that you had with Tom Hartman.
Okay.
Is that a natural act?
That's okay, because I committed a wrong against you, you see. I committed a wrong against Tom.
So
Tom are partners, and... It would be the same, Tom, if you and I are business partners and you got me mad one day and I punched you in the face.
Right. What you did is you, in this instant, you would have done something which was basically a violation of the contract between us, the agreement
right.
that we had between us.
Correct.
Okay, what I'm saying is that when we elect representatives,
yeah.
and those representatives decide to tax us and to spend our money, we are agreeing with ourselves. We're entering into a contract, and we're saying we're going to agree that we are going to collectively pay for this guy's leg if it gets broken.
Well,
and there's
okay,
nothing immoral or unnatural about that.
Well,
that's simply
sure
an agreement that we have.
Well, no, the thing is what you're assuming is that it's correct position to say that
it's correct if the majority of people vote for it. I mean, you know, it's as long as it protects the rights of the minorities. David, thanks for the call. The music means we've come up against the edge of it here. I appreciate your call. 1-800-TALK-YES. We'll be right back.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, there. This is a commercial for a major radio network.
Wish
we can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, Bartkop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man for people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
With uncommon sense from the radical metal. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. I'm going to do something I really don't like to do, but I want to, first of all, I want to just talk a little bit about the issue that David raised, because it's an important issue. And we do have, I've only got 3 minutes in this segment, and I've got Chuck in West Virginia, Joe in Texas, and Kent in Chicago on the lines. And you guys, I've got Tom Tomorrow, the cartoonist who does these incredible things, on as a guest at 1 o'clock. We're going to have him on just for 15 minutes, maybe 20 at the most. And if I can ask you guys to please call back, and we'll just pick this conversation back up again in 25 minutes from now, and then we'll have the whole rest of the day. We'll have another hour and a half, and we can talk about these things, because I do want to get into them. But I know that I won't do any of the three of you justice by asking you to get on and make your point in a minute and a half. And once Tom comes on, you know, unless you want to ask Tom Tomorrow a question, which I encourage you to call and ask him, you know, if you got anything with that. But, you know, just to be fair, to do right by these calls, if you guys can call back after what is right now Eastern time, we're coming up on 1 o'clock. What would be after, you know, 20 minutes from now, 25 minutes from now, thereabouts. And now here's the point that I was making with regard to what David was saying. The big argument that the libertarians make and that a lot of conservatives make is that tax dollars are ultimately taken at the point of a gun. And therefore, and there's a whole bunch of therefores that they fill in. There's some of them that make sense and some that don't. But by and large, the therefore our politicians either don't have the right to take them, or must take them responsibly, or this libertarian decides that they should have the right to take them in order to pay for police services, but not for medical services, for example, Medicare. And this other libertarian decides that they should have the right to take them at the point of a gun to pay for fire services, but not police services, and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But the bottom line is that it all gets down to the contract, the agreement that we have with each other. And those agreements vary. They vary from generation to generation. They vary over time. That is the nature of democracy. And you've got a situation, for example, right now, where you've got a company down in Louisiana that is making a company that is polluting the water of America, a gasoline additive. And Billy Towson, in this new energy bill, wants to suddenly change the law so that they're not responsible for the pollution. They're limited from liability. And boom, you know, things change. But the reality is that once the law is, the law is. I mean, you know, that's it. So, anyhow, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back after the news.
But it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
The
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable for morons, cretins, and dishwipes.
Hey, I wanted to say dick dick.
Okay, give me your anaconda. I'll give you my dick dick.
Deal!
Anaconda! Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network. All right, boys, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You
why
hate
don't
me?
I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
Yeah, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Rockets on Friday slammed into the Iraqi oil ministry and two central Baghdad hotels used by Western contractors and journalists, wounding several people. Three rockets had hit the oil ministry, which was ablaze, police said. Guests evacuated the Sheraton and Palestine hotels, located in a fortified compound near the Tigris River after the buildings were hit by rockets. Guests saw shards of glass and fragments of plaster and concrete scattered across the floors. Witnesses said the hotels said they had seen several people with at least light wounds. A security guard said two people had been taken to the hospital. Around 100,000 protesters marched through London and tore down a mock statue of visiting George W. Bush Thursday, many of them convinced his policies were to blame for anti-British bombs in Turkey. Demonstrators of all ages beat drums and blew whistles along a three-mile route that took them past Parliament and the end of Downing Street, where crowds paused to jeer at Prime Minister Tony Blair's office. When they reached Trafalgar Square, protesters felled a 20-foot papier-mâché statue of Bush in a parody of the toppling of the statue of Saddam Hussein when U.S. troops swept into Baghdad. In its top pocket was a puppet with a grinning Blair face. Two London-based Arabic-language publications said Sunday that they had received separate statements asserting al-Qaeda's responsibility for the suicide bombings near two Istanbul synagogues that killed 23 people and injured 303. A group linked to al-Qaeda said in an email to the daily Al-Quds Al-Arabi newspaper that it conducted the bombings in Istanbul on Saturday and that al-Qaeda planned attacks in other countries, including the United States. The email message said the two synagogues in Istanbul were targeted because al-Qaeda believed Israeli Mossad agents were inside. The missive also cited Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories as motive for the attacks. More IE America Radio Network news after this.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
John Lennon's handwritten lyrics to the song Nowhere Man were sold for $455,000, more than four times the expected price, at an entertainment memorabilia sale at Christie's on Tuesday. The lyrics to the Beatles song were expected to fetch between $80,000 and $100,000 at the New York auction, according to Christie spokeswoman Margaret Barrett. For IE American Network News, this is Don Waller in New York. Have a great weekend.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
This is Eric Muller reporting from Shopper 5.
Cut!
News happens fast. Can I afford to let a cold slow me down? Not up here. When I'm achy, with a stuffy nose and a sore throat, I take Advil Cold and Sinus. It's got the power of Advil to handle tough pain, plus a hard-working decongestant. That's why they call it Advil Cold and Sinus.
Quick, over to the highway!
I call it fast relief for a reporter on the fly.
For tough colds, advance to Advil Cold and Sinus. Use as directed.
It's time for another chapter of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. Rich people have problems too. For example, what's the use of being rich if you can't be pampered? Yet there's little to no respect for wealthy people who wallow around in luxury. So imagine the agony of the rich as they wrestle with ways to be pampered without being ridiculed for it. Take corporate jets. Your top CEOs don't travel first class. They travel their class in private jets. No lines, no wanding of their private parts, no mingling with us peons. Their new favorite is Gulfstream's G450 jet, which will fly 8 passengers 5,000 miles nonstop and PDQ. Price tag, $33 million. But that's stripped bare. You get a flyable plane for $33 million, but no interior. No seats, wall coverings, washroom, carpet, storage bins, etc. It takes another $3 or $4 million to have your plane outfitted, with an emphasis on soft and plush. Deerskin sleep seats, mahogany cabinets, Persian carpets, muted lighting, flat screen video displays with surround sound systems, walk-in showers, and, of course, 24-karat gold plating for the fixtures. As one jet maker puts it, the finishes and furnishings should look more like the interior of a multi-million-dollar home than an airplane. Yes, but what are the small shareholders and the workers to think? They see these flying mansions as nothing but extravagant toys for over-pampered executive fat cats. CEOs get cranky when asked about this, but now they've devised a carefully crafted response. A jet encourages in-flight productivity, they claim, asserting that it's just another work tool, like a carpenter's lathe or a school teacher's book bag. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it takes Persian carpets and gold fixtures to be productive, why don't they provide these for all workers?
It's another audio clip from the production meeting. Doug Steffen.
What production meeting?
The drive. You know how many radio stations we're on? We must be doing something right, guys.
Imagine if we really tried.
Doug. Yeah, yeah.
Yet we don't care, and it shows.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border on terrestrial radio stations via the IE America Radio Network, streaming down from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite radio system, and streaming and beaming all over the planet on the internet with several different internet radio stations, live365.com, ieamericaradio.com, and radiopower.org, with archives at whiterosesociety.com. You can find it all at tomhartman.com or links from the network site, ieamericaradio.com. And all that said, Tom Tomorrow is with us. This is, I have been a fan of Dan Perkins. Tom, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, thanks.
For more than 15 years, Tom Tomorrow has been providing an uniquely acerbic, witty, and altogether clear-headed view of media, politics, and society in his syndicated cartoon. And now you've got this book out from St. Martin's Press. It is sitting here in my hand. I've been reading this thing for a couple of weeks now. I think we've had a copy
of
it.
There's a lot to read in there. It's a great big book.
It is amazing. It's the greatest collection of cartoons or comics or what, you know, of political commentary that, and it goes way all the way back into the 80s, as far as I can tell.
Yeah.
The Great Big Book of Tomorrow. By the way, would you prefer I call you Tom or Dan?
Tom's probably easier, just so as not to be confusing.
Right.
People will think you've got two or three people here with you.
I am so glad to see the kind of success that you're getting with this. And this is pretty much the trademark cartoon for alternative weeklies, at least those that I see as I travel around the country and you know, what we have here in Vermont. Would you have plans to break into the Sunday comics?
No.
You ever thought about it? I mean, you know, why not?
I'm pretty happy doing what I do.
Yeah. Do you think that the Sunday comics are, you know, Doonesbury is about as political as the Sunday comics seem to get? Do you think that there's not a market there?
Yeah, it's just an entirely different field, and I found a fairly comfortable little niche working where I do.
Yeah. There are two cartoonists you tend to directly satirize, Bill Keane, who does the Family Circus, and Gary Trudeau of Doonesbury. And it doesn't seem like you have a great affection for them.
Bill Keane of the Family Circus is just a, it goes beyond whether or not you have any affection for him or not. He's just such a basic cultural touchstone.
Mm-hmm.
As for Gary Trudeau, actually, yeah, I have great respect and admiration for Gary Trudeau. I just I poked a little fun at him once because he was how he uses those floating icons to represent politicians.
Right, like the waffle.
He chose the waffle for Clinton, which was I had been using a variation on that theme, and you know, Gary Trudeau is certainly the 900-pound gorilla, so I knew that once he took that over, I lost it. Basically, I would not be able to use it anymore, so I just poked a little fun at him, but it was...
You mean you came up with the waffle?
Well, I was drawing Clinton as Waffle Man, actually, which was a superhero with a waffle head. Well before he started using it, but you know, that was, as I say, there was no malice intended there.
It was out there in the ozone.
Yes. Yeah. There were lots of people using, there were lots of people who were commenting on the fact that Bill Clinton did have a tendency to change his mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Gary in Colorado Springs is on the line with a question for Tom tomorrow. Hey, Gary, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thank you. And nice having Mr. Tomorrow on here today.
Hi, Gary.
My wife and I run a little mail order business, and we sell a lot of, we'd like to sell, T-shirts and things with your designs on them.
Well, I hope you're not doing it already.
Oh, no. Well, we've been buying them from wholesalers who we assume are authorized, but we have a tough time getting the stuff.
Well, you should send me an email. This is probably not
I understand that, but philosophically, do you have a problem yourself with your items being used to promote your causes in that way, or is it just your intent that they be in the newspaper? Would you like to see them on the site, on billboards and whatnot?
I'm careful about how the work is used. I've turned down some things that would have brought in a lot of money, some advertising offers and things like that, because they didn't seem appropriate. Mm-hmm. But I have no objection to using my work in conjunction with causes that I agree with.
Mm-hmm. But I assume that you want to protect your copyright.
Yes, of course, obviously.
Oh, of course, and I want to respect that, too. I have one of your designs that has a Hail to the Thief image on a T-shirt that is very thread-worn. But it always gets praises when I wear it places, and I've just got to get it replaced.
Yeah.
I will maybe call back in and talk to the call handler there and get a email address.
That would be fine. You can go to my website.
I've tried that route, and I never got a response.
Mm.
But I'll go ahead and call back in. If you could mention to the lady who's answering the phones, I'll pick up an email that way, okay?
Okay, fine.
Thank you much.
Great. You know, what I was also going to say is that on my website, I do offer a variety of T-shirts and so forth. So these things are certainly out there.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I would solicit from you a shameless plug. Please tell people where they can buy your products and your stuff, because it is so cool.
Well, my website address is sort of a good place to figure out where to get the rest of that.
And that is?
At thismodernworld.com.
thismodernworld.com. Hartman.com.
Right.
Great. Okay, Tom, tomorrow we're speaking with here on the Tom Hartman program. It looks like George Bush has even inspired Bloom County cartoonist Burke, is it Breathed?
Burke Breathed, I believe.
Breathed, I never knew how to pronounce it, to come out of retirement. You think there's some connection between progressive cartoonists and penguins?
I don't know. I wish I had a better answer for you there, but I just brought Sparky in at a certain point. You know, the rest of my characters in the cartoon have a very 50s advertising, happy talk feel, and I brought Sparky in because I wanted a character in the cartoon who could speak directly to the audience, who clearly was not of the world of the cartoon, you know, sort of looked like he had wandered in from some other cartoon entirely. And the reason I chose a penguin is just very simple, that I've always wanted to be a cartoonist. And as a kid, I was one of the things that I drew all the time were these little penguins.
Oh, how cool.
And yeah. So Sparky just showed up basically in my sketchbook, and there wasn't a lot of thought behind the character, frankly. It was just the natural thing for me to do. But yeah, a few other people have used penguins from time to time, so
yeah,
maybe I should
have
gone with an anteater or something. I don't know.
I think penguins work. I think it's great. I was just curious. Even though the Bush administration has provided easy fodder for you guys, how do you keep humor up in the face of some of the absolutely dreadful things that these guys are doing?
Yeah, well, that is the trick, isn't it? There's a lot of material, clearly, but that's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, it may be a good thing for the cartoon, but it's not a good thing for society. And you know, I don't know. I mean, I think cartoonists are just people who respond to the world by highlighting the absurdity.
Yeah, and it keeps us all sane. You know, frankly, I've got to say, I mean, you know, reading your stuff, reading Doonesbury, reading the News of the Weird, I mean, it for me personally, it keeps me sane. You guys are doing an important work, I think, for our society.
Well, I appreciate that.
In both communicating
it is just a cartoon. I wouldn't make it more than it is.
No, I don't think I'm exaggerating. I believe that if we were to strip all the cartoons out of our society, if we were to take, you know, and the things associated with them, you know, if the Daily Show went away, if our ability to make fun of the things that are truly dreadful and horrifying and scaring us were to vanish,
It'd be a bleak world.
I think people would descend into depression, and you'd see suicides, and it would just be a mess. And so, you know, without, as you say, making more of it than it is. Yet at the same time, I think we have to acknowledge. Okay, anyhow, some of your most amusing and whimsical cartoons cover your trips to the 2000 Democratic and Republican conventions. You and your colleagues crashed parties. You guys posed as a security detail.
Not in a trying to sneak in kind of sense, but we.
It was theater.
It was theater, but we actually convinced the mayor of Los Angeles at the time, Richard Reardon, to allow us to accompany him to a party as his security detail. We had these. We were with the writer Dave Barry, the humorist Dave Barry, was hanging out with us, and we showed up with little phone, you know, cord, you know, the curled cord off your hotel room phone, stuck those in our ear as sort of fake Secret Service guys, and some real Secret Service guys came over and said, "Who are you guys with?"
Okay, here's the question: are you going to do it again in the 2004 conventions?
I don't know. I'm not really sure. I would like to attend, but it's always, you know, it's always a matter of getting a publication. I don't have a job. Like most of my friends I was with are cartoonists for daily papers. They're going. They have someone to send them. For me, I always have to scramble, find someone to get me credentials and that sort of thing. So it's up in the air. I have no idea.
Yeah. Is it true that you're the only nationally syndicated cartoonist who supported Ralph Nader in 2000?
No, actually, I know that Ted Rall voted for him. I don't know for sure. I don't know.
Yeah. What are your thoughts about a Nader run in 2004?
Oh, I think it would be a tremendous mistake. The world was an entirely different place. Look, Nader has a very valid critique, and I think it's an important critique. His point is that I think his largest point is that corporate money is really a sort of cancer on the body politic, and I think that's mm-hmm. true, and that hasn't gone away. The thing is that 9/11, it's banal and trite yeah. to say it, but 9/11 really did change everything, and so right now, the body politic may still be, may still have this cancer, but it's also, we're also in triage mode. It also has a gaping arterial wound, and yeah. we really have to, things have gotten just, far worse.
Yeah. 9/11 we can't quite do the dance.
9/11, what's that?
I was going to say, we can't quite do the dance anymore. We've got to march here for a little while.
Well, 9/11 allowed the neocons to pursue their wildest fantasies of global hegemony.
Yeah.
And this is just it's different times now, and we just can't, I don't know, we're in a triage mode.
I agree. Tom, tomorrow, thank you so much for being on the program today. I appreciate your joining us. And thanks for being with us. And this is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
This is incredible. People everywhere are discovering they have 24 hours to live. With one pill a day, that's 24 hours to live without frequent heartburn. Yes, it's possible with Prilosec OTC. One pill a day can relieve heartburn for 24 hours. Holy moly, you could have zero heartburn. So, folks, get out there, because without frequent heartburn, you could have 24 hours to live it up.
One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn. It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days for frequent heartburn.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troops' lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
This
in
is what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Was in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue and the road was full of mud. I come in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. If I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel-eyed death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the pill that will help you escape the matrix. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, if you'd like to be on the program today. And again, my apologies to Chuck and Joe and Kent, who were at the top of the last hour on hold, and then we kind of went off in this direction, and we can come back if you'd like. And, in fact, Pete in Florida is on the line. Hey, Pete, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's up?
Hey, hello there, Tom. I don't know if you've been able to catch the news, but it's absolutely fascinating how the corporate-owned media is fixated on the JFK assassination and all the scenarios that could have possibly went loose. At the same time, they're giving no play at all to the families of 911 because they're seeing a right now in real time whitewash of that investigation.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's not just that. You know, it's the what you're seeing, Pete, is the entertainmentification of news.
Oh, no doubt. And the meat puppets that we see on the news, they would love to cover Michael Jackson where they can stay at 4- and 5-star hotels instead of actually covering a real war in Iraq.
Sure.
But
and I wanted to talk about Michael Jackson today. I wanted to bring this thing up, not in the thundering herd way, but did you know that in Canada it is against the law for the media to report the name of a person who's been accused of a crime until after they've been convicted?
Put it this way, Canada's news media is about 10 times better than ours. And
I think that's amazing. I mean, you know, they don't have a First Amendment, so they actually can restrain the press. And it's against the law for the press to report that somebody has been arrested. They can only report when somebody's convicted. And that prevents these convictions of people in the media. It prevents these media circuses. And people say, well, we could never do that here in the United States. That would be censorship. But we actually do it. We do it with rape victims, and we do it with suicides. Suicides happen in communities, you know, I mean, suicide is the third leading cause of death now among children. It happens, it's a fourth or fifth among adults. It happens all over the United States, and yet you never hear about it because the press has agreed not to report on it because we know that you report on suicides, you get more suicides.
But,
I'm sorry, I just
wanted to leave you on a positive note because you're going to have a bunch of callers on here. I think congratulations are in order for the Republican Party. And I really think they should have a parade because they've been able to do the AARP, who's supposed to look out for the seniors' best interest. They Clarence Thomased them. They got one of Newt's men who's going to go this way on a bad bill that's really going to hurt seniors. It's no.
He's not just on the board. He's the CEO.
Right. And the ironic thing is where you connect the dots is when they got Clarence Thomas in. What better to get a minority to beat up on other minorities. So that what they did with the AARP is absolutely fantastic. They got their newts man, let them Social Security die on the vine. They got their own man to back up and spend all these elderly people's money on promoting a bill that's going to crush them.
Yeah, and you know, Pete, you say congratulations to the Republicans for this. I would say, actually, this is what the conservatives did to the Republican Party, starting in the 60s, but really getting effective after Pat Robertson failed his try to become president, to become the Republican nominee, and he said, okay, we're going to take over the Republican Party, the cons, the hardcore cons, the extreme right. And they have taken over what was once actually, I think under Dwight Eisenhower, a relatively noble party, a relatively benign party anyway. And so the cons took over the Republican Party, and now the cons have taken over the AARP, and it's basically the corporatization of America, and this is incredibly destructive to democracy. Pete, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES. Kent and Floyd in Chicago will pick you up right on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements, and what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A 34-year-old oil spill still contaminates a Massachusetts marsh, and scientists are trying to find out why. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Dig a few inches into the marsh of West Falmouth, Massachusetts, and it's 1969. The diesel fuel that spilled into the marsh back then is still there, and it hasn't changed much over the course of the past three decades. Many of the old compounds in the marsh are still toxic to people and wildlife. Scientists are trying to find out why they won't go away and what this could mean for cleaning up other oil spills. Chris Reddy is an environmental chemist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He used a sensitive new technique to identify petroleum compounds in the marsh, and he found that there's almost no difference between the original diesel fuel and what's in the marsh today. He says he expected to find that these compounds had been broken down by microbes in the soil.
One of the big things right now in science is a term called natural attenuation, which basically means that Mother Nature can clean itself up. And there are some really good examples out there where it's happened. But in this case, at this one location, for some reason, the microbes that usually can eat some of these compounds have stalled.
Reddy says the microbes ate some of the compounds, but he says they have the capability to eat almost all of them. Reddy says it's important to figure out why the microbes stopped breaking down the oil residue at the Massachusetts marsh.
If we can understand what made them stall, and we can somehow add or help the bacteria, then we can help Mother Nature clean the spot up and potentially other locations.
Reddy is the lead author of an article on the West Falmouth spill that appeared last year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Hi, fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Bosses of the world unite, let us save the day. Malcontents without 5 cents want us to cut our pay. We only make 500 times as much as our average worker drones. We work just as hard and we too sometimes need to paint our homes. The pressures are incredible and no one seems to care. We moved our plants to Haiti and now we have to move from there. They're clamoring for more than a dollar a day from Malaysia to Mexico. At that rate, pretty soon there'll be no place for us to go.
Workers of the world, bosses of the world, you know. I believe that's from Jim Tur's website, BlueCanyonProductions.com. One of the greatest pieces of bumper music we have. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person? A new leak smells of neocon desperation. I don't know if you saw this. I think that this link came off BuzzFlash. It's from antiwar.com, actually, is the main website. And this week's, it's a fascinating, you know, this story that Fox News and all these guys have been, oh, this proves that Osama was connected to what's his name, Saddam. It turns out that the intelligence community who is being cited in the leak is like jumping all over the place going, no, it proves the opposite. It proves that these guys are cherry-picking raw intelligence that nobody with any thoughtfulness has looked over and seriously considered, is this legitimate or not? But it appeared in the Weekly Standard, and that was enough. Anyhow, we have Kent in Chicago back on the line. Hey, Kent, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Thanks for hanging on, you know, for... Yeah. Taking the break there and calling back. Say that again?
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you?
I am great. And you?
I'm doing great, thanks. Tom, I want to pick up on, you know, what David was saying earlier.
Yeah.
First of all, let me preface what I'm going to go into by saying a while back when conservative talk radio first got into its swing of delivering, I'd say, the willing middle class to its own destruction.
Yes.
They started telling vast segments of these people that you are not stupid. You are informed. You don't need to read the papers. You don't need to watch the news. Just come here and you will get all you need.
Yeah, I think George Bush has followed that. You know, he now Dwight Eisenhower read 9 newspapers a day and George Bush reads none.
Well, and this is a great way to indoctrinate people. Now, having said that, if you look at what a lot of people who support what is presently constituted as conservatism today, it's so destructive, but people support it not knowing that they're leading to their own destruction.
Yeah.
Let's extrapolate on what David was saying. If the guy next door has got a broken leg, and David refuses to have any of his tax money contribute towards the mending of that broken leg, okay, then... In the future, tomorrow or next week, if David has got a broken arm, should we also not use this guy's tax money towards helping to mend David's broken arm? But you go a bit further. There are several ways of looking at this. If that leg is allowed to fester and, you know, he gets gangrene or an infection, okay, maybe you can't take David's tax money to treat this guy medically either for the infection. So he dies, in which case he becomes a health hazard. You can't take David's money to bury him. So there's an outbreak of disease in the neighborhood, which may or may not kill David and his immediate neighbors.
Right. So
that's what a society is called. It's a coming together of people
that's
to represent
so well
our
said,
common
that
interests.
That is so well said. Thank you so much for
these
that.
These people
that,
are so unable
brilliant.
To see this because of their selfishness and because of the stupidity that has been fed to them.
Well, I think that the core... The con message has always tried to appeal to people's greed and into our baser natures. But I don't think that people fundamentally are selfish. I think that they have just been suckered into these belief systems.
I don't think they are. I think a lot of times...
I don't think they're dumb either.
Well, but a lot of times they look at what is see, if you appeal to a person's most basal instinct and don't ask a person to rise to a higher plane, which is what they do, we end up getting an almost, I wouldn't say, it's not a hatred, but it encourages people to think of what may seem at the time to be the easiest solution to problems, because it doesn't require a lot of thinking.
Yeah.
And it doesn't require a lot of effort until it starts to hurt me personally. Then it becomes a problem.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they're all in favor of the government getting involved.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well said. Kent, thank you. Thank you. It was a marvelous, marvelous metaphor and or allegory or whichever it was. I appreciate your calling. Thank you so much. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Bob in North Carolina is on the line. Hey, Bob, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm hearing a bit of an echo. If you've got a radio on, you might want to turn it down.
I don't know what you're talking about, but I've listened to you much. I'm riding down the road, I'm cutting on, and I listen to Rush Song. I listen to him.
Hey, Bob, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to have Stephanie put you on hold, and I'm going to take Joe's call in Texas next, because, Bob, you're breaking up so badly that we can't hear what you're saying. And after we're done talking to Joe, if your signal has improved, Stephanie will bring you back in. And if not, when you get into a little clearer station there, if you're driving, pull over to the side and give us a call back. But I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you were saying, and I would like to hear from you. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, and Joe in Texas is on the line. Hey, Joe, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, Joe.
Did y'all get news about the energy bill? It's been blocked in the Senate.
It has.
It's been blocked.
I haven't checked the news in a couple of months.
57-40, and I can give you some. The actual voted for it.
Yeah, I know. That just boggled my mind.
There were several Democrats that voted for it. Both of our Louisiana senators, they're both Democrats, voted for it. Frist voted against it. Can you believe that?
Well, that's interesting.
I mean, the majority.
Yeah.
The majority later voted against it. The minority later voted for it.
Yeah. Well, you know, they're going to trot out something to replace it that's going to be probably 80% as bad. It won't have the subsidy for the Hooters in it. It won't, you know, they'll take a little bit of the pork out and they might take the MTBE exception out, because you got a whole bunch of northeastern senators who are upset about that. But in the aggregate, the problem is, Joe, that the philosophy behind the bill, which is that the energy policy of the United States should be based on getting more oil, getting more gas, subsidizing, using taxpayers' dollars to give welfare to companies that produce nuclear energy, that's the way to go. That philosophy, I guarantee you, is going to come back like a bad horror movie. You know, it's going to be the vampire returns. And instead of moving toward a rational, you know, some kind of a rational health energy policy, let's get wind power and solar power, and let's decentralize. Instead of repairing the grid, why don't we decentralize the grid? Let's, you know, 15-30% of all electricity generated in the United States is lost in transmission lines, and you could dramatically reduce that simply by localizing more of this stuff.
You know, Kerry,
that ain't going to happen.
There were three people that didn't vote for it, Democrats. Kerry, Hollins, and Edwards.
Interesting.
And Kerry is supposed to have this high rating from the environmental. Or he said he does, you know.
Yeah.
From the environmental people.
Well,
anyway,
I just wanted to
check that in. And
Kerry did not vote for it, you're saying.
He didn't vote for it. And I heard a guy on NPR say this morning, they called his office and said he was going to vote against it. But evidently, he decided not to vote.
Oh, he didn't vote at all?
He didn't vote at all. Arnold did Edwards, and they're both presidential candidates.
Oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. It's going to be interesting to read the analysis of this thing. What I always find interesting is to go in and read what the Wall Street Journal, what do the right-wingers have to say about this? Then, you know, check out
websites. Well, you know, they said they're bound to send it back through, you know. They're bound.
Yeah.
They're going to run it.
Yeah.
One way or another, you know.
It's a sad day in America. We've got to bring about some change here. I hope you are registered to vote, Joe.
You bet. I've always voted, but I'm more in the last. I'm gonna say in the last 10 years, I've become more and more, especially since Bush come in.
Yeah.
I started reading stuff, and I've become more active in politics.
Yeah.
And
the other thing I'd say to you is tag, you're it. Now, pass along the message. It's as you say, we it's not even anymore enough just to vote. We've got to get out and we got to wake up our friends and our neighbors and our relatives and everybody else. Joe, thanks for the call. Thanks for the news tip there. While I'm on the air here, I don't generally have the time to track, what's going on with the news. And the last hour or so before we get on the air, we're frantically pulling stuff together. So thanks for the update. 100%, I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number, 1-800-825-5937. I've got a call here, but before I get to that, I just want to play our consumer tip of the day. This from Senator Charles Schumer. He wants folks to know that next week, they're changing the law on the cell phone thing, where your cell phone number can follow you. And apparently there's other things associated with that. And he says, look out, because the cell phone companies are in full hustle mode around this thing, trying to get around this law. And I thought this was interesting.
Say to consumers, so one thing we would say to consumers is start shopping around. On Monday, remember that old rock and roll song? You better shop around. Do it, because it's pretty certain that you're going to get a much better deal after Monday than you got before. And then the second thing I say is this, and this is a warning to consumers. Don't sign any long-term contracts, because there's going to be a lot of competition. A good number of the companies have been going around saying, sign up for us for 2 years, and then if you want to get out, sometimes there's a penalty of $200 or $250. So the second message to consumers is be careful. When you sign up, because competition is going to let all sorts of great forces loose, providing both better service and lower prices, don't lock yourself into a contract unless you're sure that you can get out of it quickly and without penalty. And once those two things happen, I think this is going to be great news.
And this is an example of competition being created by the government, that the corporations left to themselves become anti-competitive. And that's one of the great truths of the free enterprise and capitalist system, and one of the ones that the cons will never acknowledge. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, I just want to talk again about the vote on the energy legislation.
Uh-huh.
It's interesting to note that all the Democrats, or virtually all the Democrats who were in favor of it, were from the Plain States. Daschle and Johnson from South Dakota, Dorgan and Conrad from North Dakota, and unfortunately even Max Baucus for Montana. Now, of course, this isn't for or against the legislation. It's for continuing or, debate on it.
Right.
And Frist, it's really weird to see his vote in the nays, because he also said this is not going to be the last vote, that he wants to keep this thing going. So I'd urge anyone from the Plain States to call your senator. It's Louisiana, Arkansas, North and South Dakota, all these states, because it was only 3 votes short of closing the debate on this.
Interesting. And you can call your senator at 202-224-3121. Jeff, why do you think it was the Plain States guys?
Well, because of the ethanol thing. It's an interesting analysis on this is these guys may not be in favor of the actual legislation, but they're afraid to vote no right now. Well, they can see if they can keep on the debate, they can vote like they're in favor of the bill without the risk of the farmers going, hey, you didn't support us on the ethanol. So they're in kind of a safe territory right now, but we need to call them to support them and say, hey, this vote, I mean, we've got to keep this thing out of circulation. This vote should, this legislation should not pass.
Increasingly, it's not even really the farmers. It's the huge agricultural corporations that are passing out the campaign bucks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's increasingly the bottom line. And if you consider that as one of our guests this week pointed out, I think it was yesterday, I'm forgetting who it was, that just between the Rocky Mountains and the Mississippi River, there's enough wind power to power the entire United States. I mean, here you are, the Plain States, and the prime candidates for alternative energy. I mean, just the prime, you know, just perfect territory.
We're getting huge wind farms here in Colorado, Wyoming. We've got a big one. In Texas, there's some huge ones now, too.
Yeah, and why these guys would, well, you know, we know why. It's because of corporate money involving itself in politics. This is the cancer that we've got to get out of American politics. We've got to say to corporations, sorry, you are not persons, you cannot vote, therefore you cannot participate in politics, and go back to calling it what it was called in the 17th and the 18th and the 19th centuries, bribery and influencing, and make it a crime again.
Yes. And just one other reminder, we also need to thank the Republicans such as McCain and, ironically, Sununu from New Hampshire, and Gregg, and Snow and Collins, of course, and Chaffee. They all are against this legislation at the moment. Unfortunately, it's mostly because the MBTE or TB, I always get the backwards, provision.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
we need to support them in their voting for some some degree of ethics here.
Yeah, I had a clip, an audio clip of John McCain, and for that, I don't think I ever got around to playing yesterday, as I recall. I had it queued up, and we just ran out of time. But John McCain railing against the energy bill.
Yeah, so let's thank McCain and Hassel Dashiell.
Yeah, there you go. Okay.
Thanks,
and
Tom.
The number again for the thanks, Jeff. And the number again for Congress is 202 for the United States Senate or the House of Representatives, the main switchboard. You can just ask for your congressman or your senator. 1-202-224-3121. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Truth and common sense in broadcasting. We'll have more of it right after this commercial break. Stay tuned.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-sized bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine. mankind and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina, who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature. One word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
The place where smart people get their news. This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network, sponsored today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S. That would be 1-800-511-6227. If you own a Macintosh, if you've thought about owning a Macintosh, if you want information about Macintoshes, if you need a Macintosh fixed, give them a call, 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S. Support our sponsors. And the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE for actually incredibly good-tasting wine that also isn't filled with pesticides and herbicides and all those obnoxious things that you find in the wine that you buy in your typical supermarket or even in the high-end wine shops. Anyhow, welcome back. Which party in the White House means good times for investors? This is fascinating. This study just was published in the October Journal of Finance. The article was called Political Cycles in the Stock Market. And what these guys did, professors from Santa Clara and Valkanov, their names, Pedro Santa Clara and Rossen Valkanov, at the University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA, they looked at what they call the excess market return, which is the difference between a whole bunch of stock prices, in other words, basically the money that the stock market makes and the money that treasury bills make. And sometimes treasury bills are making less and the stock market's making more, in which case you've got a larger spread between them. Sometimes the treasury bills are making more and the stock market's making less and like that. And so anyhow, the bottom line is that when you combine the two, these are the big two investment opportunities, right? You combine the two and you've got the ability to earn money investing or not. And what they found, they look back over 72 years, and they found that under during the years when there were Democrats who were presidents, the average investor return was 11%. And during the years, during these 72 years, when Republicans were president, The average return was 2%. Pretty remarkable, huh? So here's a tip. Sell stock when Republicans are elected president. Buy stock when Democrats are elected president. If you do that, you make a pile of money. Very simple. I want to get into actually economics in more depth. We'll get into that in our next hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're listening to the Vast Radical Middle Conspiracy.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really? Mm-hmm.
Fan ji la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fantilla.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. Rockets on Friday slammed into the Iraqi oil ministry and two central Baghdad hotels used by Western contractors and journalists, wounding several people. Three rockets had hit the oil ministry, which was ablaze, police said. Guests evacuated the Sheraton and Palestine hotels, located in a fortified compound near the Tigris River, after the buildings were hit by rockets. Guests saw shards of glass and fragments of plaster and concrete scattered across the floors. Witnesses said the hotels said they had seen several people with at least light wounds. A security guard said two people had been taken to the hospital. A suicide car bomber killed at least four people near the offices of a leading Kurdish party in northern Iraq Thursday, hours after two others were killed in a car bombing west of Baghdad. The bombings near the Kirkuk offices of the Patriotic Union of Kurdistan, whose leader is currently head of Iraq's U.S.-appointed governing council, and a local council in Ramadi appeared to target the American-led occupation. A U.S. soldier was also killed near Ramadi when a bomb was detonated as a convoy drove past, a military spokesman said. The soldier was the 180th to be killed in action since major combat was declared over on May 1st. George W. Bush left open the possibility of sending more American troops to Iraq, but said security on the ground would be the deciding factor. Two London-based Arabic language publications said Sunday that they had received separate statements asserting al-Qaeda's responsibility for the suicide bombings near two Istanbul synagogues that killed 23 people and injured 303. A group linked to al-Qaeda said in an email to the daily Al-Quds Al-Arabi newspaper that it conducted the bombings in Istanbul on Saturday and that al-Qaeda planned attacks in other countries, including the United States. The email message said the two synagogues in Istanbul were targeted because al-Qaeda believed Israeli Mossad agents were inside. The missive also cited Israel's occupation of the Palestinian territories as motive for the attacks.
Sting for VH1 Save the Music.
When children learn music, they learn to think in a different way. Studies have shown that it helps them to do better work in other subjects. So make sure your kids learn music. They'll learn much more than how to carry a tune.
School music programs are in trouble. Help VH1 save the music in our public schools. Please call toll-free 1-888-VH1-4MUSIC.
VH1 Save the Music, because music education equals brain power.
Michigan police found a baby crocodile during a drug raid in Jackson County. The one-foot crocodile was found Thursday in an aquarium in the house, the Jackson Citizen Patriot reported. Police confiscated the reptile along with 7 grams of crack cocaine and a semi-automatic handgun. Two people who lived in the house were charged in a related drug case that led to the search.
Crocodiles
Brian,
and alligators.
America
and
Radio Swamp. Network News. This is Don Waller in New York. Have a great weekend.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
It's time for another chapter of The Lifestyles of the Rich and Cranky. Rich people have problems, too. For example, what's the use of being rich if you can't be pampered? Yet there's little to no respect for wealthy people who wallow around in luxury. So imagine the agony of the rich as they wrestle with ways to be pampered without being ridiculed for it. Take corporate jets. Your top CEOs don't travel first class. They travel their class in private jets. No lines, no wanding of their private parts, no mingling with us peons. Their new favorite is Gulfstream's G450 jet, which will fly 8 passengers 5,000 miles nonstop and PDQ. Price tag, $33 million. But that's stripped bare. You get a flyable plane for $33 million, but no interior. No seats, wall coverings, washroom, carpet, storage bins, etc. It takes another $3 or $4 million to have your plane outfitted, with an emphasis on soft and plush. Deerskin sleep seats, mahogany cabinets, Persian carpets, muted lighting, flat screen video displays with surround sound systems, walk-in showers, and, of course, 24-karat gold plating for the fixtures. As one jet maker puts it, the finishes and furnishings should look more like the interior of a multi-million dollar home than an airplane. Yes, but what are the small shareholders and the workers to think? They see these flying mansions as nothing but extravagant toys for over-pampered executive fat cats. CEOs get cranky when asked about this, but now they've devised a carefully crafted response. A jet encourages in-flight productivity, they claim, asserting that it's just another work tool, like a carpenter's lathe or a school teacher's book bag. This is Jim Hightower saying, if it takes Persian carpets and gold fixtures to be productive, why don't they provide these for all workers?
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time.
I think that was very nice.
I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network on the Sirius Satellite Radio System, Stream 145, broadcasting live on terrestrial radio stations from coast to coast, and also streaming around the planet on the Internet from radiopower.org, ieamericaradio.com, and live365.com, with archives at whiterosesociety.org. And I noticed recently that Ben at White Rose has started putting little tags about what's on, what's in the show which I thought was really cool. If you're listening, Ben, thank you. That was great at White Rose Society. You can find links to all of those things from our homepage at tomhartman.com. Pretty much however you spell it, it should get you there. And if you have any doubts, put it into Google and you'll find it. And but just www.tomhartman.com. And you can find also there a link to our chat room, which is full of folks. We've been having an interesting conversation here about a variety of things, including the radio industry. And but what I'd like to get into this hour, or at least to begin here, it's Friday. If there's anything you want to talk about, anything on your mind, give me a call. Love to hear from you. 1-800-TALK-YES. 1-800-825-5937. And I want to restate something I said earlier, and that is, wouldn't it be great in America if we were to adopt the Canadian news standard? I mean, there is so much important stuff going on right now. For example, the Free Trade of the Americas talks wrapped up early, and I'm going to get into that in just a second. What was going on down there in Florida? I got an email from Peter Werby, a friend of mine who used to be on this network and is on the air in Detroit now, and talking about what was going on down there and in the streets. And it was like, whoa, this is incredible. And of course, you know, there's all these other news reports and things. And these things, by and large, and, you know, what was happening in the streets in England and what's going on in Afghanistan right now. I mean, have you heard even recently that women are wearing burqas again and the Taliban is back? And just there is so much important news. And what are we treated to? Wall to wall, Scott Peterson, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jackson. And in Canada, it is actually against the law for a news organization to report that a person has been arrested or indicted. You can't report a person's name until they have been convicted, because the assumption is that you are innocent until proven guilty by a jury of your peers or a judge if you choose. And therefore, they're only going to report on the guilty. And it's incredible. We live 2 hours south of Montreal here in central Vermont. And I can pick up, I think AM 800 is the frequency. I'm drawing a blank on the call letters, but one of the big stations in Montreal, and we get a bunch of French language stations too, but I don't speak French, but they're English language station. And occasionally you'll hear about an arrest. 22 people were arrested in a drug ring or, you know, some big arrest in a murder case. Not one word about who was arrested. And they're not, and they don't play games with it. They don't, like, you know, try to... Now, here in the United States, we'd say, but when somebody's convicted, you know, well, so-and-so today was convicted of murder. Then it becomes a news story. So-and-so was convicted of rape. Then it becomes a news story. It just seems so civilized to me. And people say, oh, well, you know, in the United States, you could not pass a law saying that the media can't report on arrests and do OJ trials and things like that, because that would be inhibiting freedom of the press. And I agree. But the press voluntarily inhibits itself in the United States in the interest of the public good, in that the press, by and large, does not report suicides. And the press, by and large, does not report the names of victims of rape. So why not just go to the next step and let's say, hey, let's get out of this infotainment insanity. I've seen Michael Jackson's mugshot enough, thank you very much. And talk about what the real news is, and you know, whether that's something that could be done legislatively or not, frankly, I don't know. I doubt. But I think if enough outrage bubbled up, hey, we would like to know what's really going on. It's increasingly seeming to me that the only news outlet in the mainstream media out there that is actually has any kind of commitment at all to news is CNN. Faux news is a travesty. And the major networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, are so competitive for ratings, so desperate for ratings, that they're doing these, what has the greatest entertainment value? They've got to be doing focus groups on this stuff. Anyhow, Jay in Jackson, Mississippi's on the line. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, of course, 1-800-825-5937. Jay, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's on your mind today?
Thank you. You're doing a good job.
Thank you,
Jay. I listen to you every day. I wish you were on nationally.
Well, I am. We just have to get on more and more stations. But we're picking them up all the time. We picked up a new one this week.
Yes, thank you. I wish that sometimes I feel guilty because of the guerrilla attacks, but sometimes I think that we need to use those tactics politically against Mr. Bush, because we can't seem to fight them fair square on, because they have the money and the...
To use the what's? I didn't understand the word that you...
The guerrilla tactics.
Oh, guerrilla tactics. Yeah, it's a tragedy what's happening to our young men and women in Iraq, and... I think that we just need to use good old-fashioned politics. I mean, the political guerrilla tactics that the founders used were two things. One was pamphleting, and the other was committees of correspondence. And today, the pamphleting is the Internet, and you can pass along, you know, web pages and things to people and emails. And the committees of correspondence, they used to organize to write letters to the editor. And people are doing that again. I mean, MoveOn.org has a whole website, as does Americans for the American Way. And there's several of them. There's a link to one of them off my website at TomHartman.com, where you can just click that link, and it'll take you to one of those websites. I forget which one we used. And you can write a letter and push the button, and it'll send it directly to your elected representative or to a local newspaper as a letter to the editor. Get out there and do that.
Thank you.
Is that what you called about, Jay?
Yes.
You're starting to break up. We're losing you there, Jay. Jay, thanks for the call. I appreciate your kind words. I'm sorry I missed your last sentence there. It's just cell phones. Well, we all know how they go. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. We have Nathan in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hey, Nathan, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Thanks. I just have a few things. The Lacey Peterson trial is a disaster. I would like to know why they're focusing and spending so much attention covering this. There are hundreds, probably thousands of murders in the United States every day. Why is it that this trial is getting so much publicity?
Yeah, there is proximity. It's near a major city where there's a lot of news organizations that feed the networks. It's in the LA area, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, so boom, right there you've got the headquarters and the main news gathering operations, so nobody has to leave their nice offices or their fancy hotels. And you know, secondly, you've got, a grisly murder. But, and plus, I'd say the main thing, actually, Nathan, is that faux news was pumping this thing really, really hard in the beginning, because the anti-abortion crowd was going to use this as a lever. You know, he's being indicted for murdering an unborn child, and for trying to get laws going that would further erode a woman's right to choose whether or not to have an abortion.
But they can't even determine the cause of death yet.
Yeah.
Correct?
I haven't paid any attention to the trial. Those things come on TV. It's been
there
weeks.
There was a coroner that said
no
he
idea
could
what's
not,
going on.
He could not determine the cause of death. So as far as they know, it's not even a murder trial. If they can't determine the cause of death, they have no murder weapon. They have nothing, and yet they're blowing this so far out of proportion.
Well, and the truly weird thing is that here we are talking about it. I mean, that's you're illustrating my point, is that I think that we really need in the United States to be reporting on criminals when they are convicted, rather than doing this "let's try people in the press" stuff that has been going on so aggressively lately.
Well, it seems like, as far as the press is concerned, he's already a convicted murderer.
Sure.
Is the way they're blowing it up. And the Michael Jackson situation, they need to leave the man alone. You know, maybe he did it, maybe he didn't. No one's proved anything yet.
Yeah, I mean, I am all in favor.
Show.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
There was a talk show on yesterday on Sirius. but and they took a survey of their viewers. 60% said he was guilty.
Mm-hmm.
They have no evidence, no facts whatsoever, and 60% of the population that they polled says the man's guilty. What's wrong with people in this country? I don't understand it.
Yeah, I mean, see, here we're getting back again to this issue of trying people in the press, that it's just wrong to try people in the press. It's regardless of the crime that they're accused of. You know, none of us are supportive of anybody breaking any of these laws. And yet, it seems to me unseemly that we're doing this, that we're doing these media circuses for people who are, by law, innocent until they've been proven guilty. I think, you know, when somebody's proven guilty, no problem. Tell the world. But I think that they've got it right in Canada, and I wonder what other countries have laws to that effect. I'd like to see that. Thanks for the call, Nathan. I appreciate your comments and your calling in and sharing with that. Kodak in Columbus, Ohio. Is that Kodak, our trucker?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Kodak, how you doing today?
I'm fine. How you doing today, Tom?
I'm alive and kicking. What's up?
Good. Well, yesterday and this morning I was listening to the BBC, and it was interesting that they didn't have full coverage of the the conference that was held there in Florida, and the only
FTAA.
Yes.
Well, it doesn't affect Europe.
Yeah. The only interview that they had was with the actual organizers of the of this World Trade Conference, and why they didn't have a successful outcome. They didn't interview any of the people that were opposing it, or any of the views that were some concern.
Hey, Kodak, we got hard breaks here. I don't have any control over when the commercials start. So if you can just hold the line, I'm suspecting you want to say more than just that. So if so, hang on, and we'll pick you up on the other side of this commercial break, if you can. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Women over 50 and men over 40 are waking up to a surprising fact. They're already at risk of a heart attack. Because of age and other risk factors, doctors often recommend Bayer low-dose aspirin as part of a routine to help prevent a heart attack. Bayer is the leading aspirin brand, and taking Bayer for your heart is easy. Aspirin is not appropriate for everyone, so be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin an aspirin regimen and ask about adding Bayer to your routine for many more great days ahead. Trust your heart to Bayer.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution, asks,
what's complete freedom? For me, it's an open road with the top down. It's my bare arms getting warmed by the sun. It's my bare arms without a trace of psoriasis.
Complete freedom, brought to you by the complete relief of Dermarest psoriasis. Unlike brands which only relieve itching and inflammation, Dermarest psoriasis also removes the embarrassing scales, allowing healthy skin to grow.
Healthy skin? That's complete freedom.
Dermarest, the psoriasis solution.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
Thieves in High Places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune in to tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by
them.
I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
I hate, I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We were talking to Kodak in Columbus, Ohio. Kodak, you want to finish your thought there? We were so rudely interrupted by the need to make a living.
Yes, in conjunction with your topic of just how appalling the media has been regarding this circus media campaign around the Michael Jackson story. And last night, Mike Malloy read a piece from one of the internet sites that gave the statistics of how, well, not statistics, but it was a story relating how CNN devoted more time to this Michael Jackson story than it had in all the stories regarding the anthrax, the outing of the CIA, the investigation into 911, all of the top stories. Like I said, just one story about Michael Jackson and consume more airtime and all those stories put together. So as I was thinking about this, I was like, we really can't do anything about the press, but we can do like the Republicans and come up with our own catchy little phrases and operations. How about when these people are just so all in our face, having all this sympathy and concern for Michael, the family, those poor children? We need to just use operation, what I'm going to call bait and switch, and just say, yes, I know, I understand that those situations, whatever the topic may be, it's just awful. But did you know that yesterday, while all this was going on, that Congress has held up the energy bill? Or did you know that a bill has been submitted before Congress that's going to gut Social Security? What are you doing towards your retirement? And we can just go on and on and on.
Yeah,
well,
you know, it's a great suggestion, Kodak, and I agree with you. But I would take it one step further. You say that we can't do anything about the press, and I think that we can.
Yes,
there is a reason why the press is reporting Michael Jackson, Lacey Peterson, and Kobe Bryant to the in more detail and with more time than they're reporting the fact that the cons are out to take our Social Security and destroy Medicare. And the reason is very simple. When they go out and survey the American people, what they hear back from people is that people want to know about celebrities. So, you know, celebrity, yeah. I mean, you know, the little people column in Time magazine got so popular it spun off into its own magazine. It's all about celebrity in America. And that's, you know, there's a human nature thing there, and we're not going to change human nature, and there's a business reality there, and we're not going to change that. But what we can do, we, those of us who really want to know the news, is we can assert, we can let the industry know, let your news providers know, hey, you know, we would really like to have some news, thank you very much. And if somebody, you know, if somebody wants to be the entertainment network, you know, let ABC be the entertainment network, and they can handle that, or CBS, or let one of them pick, or, you know, or I mean, it'll naturally segregate out. One of them will figure out, we'll do entertainment, and another one will figure out, we'll do news. And I would suggest, frankly, my personal preference would be to lean on CNN and say, we would like you guys to talk more about hard news and the things that affect Americans and political news, and leave aside the stuff about, you know, who has been charged with this crime or that crime until they're convicted, and then you report it as a straight news story.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that, you know, how the press can't find any of the other reporters who was given information outing the CIA agent.
Oh,
so they can go and find out which charter jet Michael Jackson is landing on.
I know. It's incredible.
It's
incredible. Kodak, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. You know, you can contact the news organizations. Right on their websites, they have their contact information. You can send them emails. You can send them letters. You can call them. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. Robert, New Orleans, hang on the line. We'll take your call right after the break. We'll be right back. This is Tom Hartman.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
A 34-year-old oil spill still contaminates a Massachusetts marsh, and scientists are trying to find out why. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Dig a few inches into the marsh of West Falmouth, Massachusetts, and it's 1969. The diesel fuel that spilled into the marsh back then is still there, and it hasn't changed much over the course of the past three decades. Many of the old compounds in the marsh are still toxic to people and wildlife. Scientists are trying to find out why they won't go away and what this could mean for cleaning up other oil spills. Chris Reddy is an environmental chemist at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He used a sensitive new technique to identify petroleum compounds in the marsh, and he found that there's almost no difference between the original diesel fuel and what's in the marsh today. He says he expected to find that these compounds had been broken down by microbes in the soil.
One of the big things right now in science is a term called natural attenuation, which basically means that Mother Nature can clean itself up. And there are some really good examples out there where it's happened. But in this case, at this one location, for some reason, the microbes that usually can eat some of these compounds have stalled.
Reddy says the microbes ate some of the compounds, but he says they have the capability to eat almost all of them. Reddy says it's important to figure out why the microbes stopped breaking down the oil residue at the Massachusetts marsh.
If we can understand what made them stall, and we can somehow add or help the bacteria, then we can help Mother Nature clean the spot up and potentially other locations.
Reddy is the lead author of an article on the West Falmouth spill that appeared last year in the journal Environmental Science and Technology. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk,
we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
This picture, there's something I'm not seeing here. Yeah. What's wrong with this picture? Something's not exactly clear.
And welcome back. It's talk radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We have Robert in New Orleans and Brian in Los Angeles on the line. And I'm going to take your calls, guys, in just a second. I just want to share, Louise just walked in and shared this with me. General Tommy Franks, in the new issue of a magazine for drug addicts, just made the most remarkable comment. General Tommy Franks, this from Newsmax.com, the right-wing news source. General Tommy Franks says that if the United States is hit with a weapon of mass destruction that inflicts large casualties, the Constitution will likely be discarded in favor of a military form of government. If terrorists succeed in using a weapon of mass destruction against the U.S. or one of our allies, it would likely have a catastrophic consequence on our cherished Republican form of government. He said, and I quote, if there's this a WMD attack in the United States, quote, that causes our population to question our own Constitution and to begin to militarize our country in order to avoid a repeat of another mass casualty-producing event, which, in fact, then begins to unravel the fabric of our Constitution, end quote. This is a guy who won 3 Purple Hearts, 3 Bond Stars, top commander of Operation Desert Storm, liberated Kuwait in 1991. He was the head of CENTCOM when Osama bin Laden. He also, by the way, told this drug addict publication that within hours of the 9/11 attack, he was given orders to prepare to root out the Taliban in Afghanistan and to capture bin Laden. Within hours. So they had to have known that bin Laden was planning this. Well, of course, now we know, but it's just a surprise. Anyway, so if George Bush, as Newsmax.com says, he is the first high-ranking official to openly speculate that the Constitution could be scrapped in favor of a military form of government. And we've already moved in that direction with the Patriot Act. And if George Bush was to do that, they asked Tommy Franks, what do you think about George Bush? He says, probably we'll think of him in years to come as an American hero. Isn't this chilling? 1-800-TALK, yes, 1-800-825-5937. Robert in New Orleans, thank you for waiting so patiently through that news break, through the commercial break and my sharing that news story. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Tom, how's it going?
I'm alive and kicking. What's up, Robert?
Well, I was going to call this to talk about the other issue, but you brought up the Tommy Frank, the article in Newsmax, right, by Tommy Franks, and I had seen that article earlier today. And I'm going to tell you, basically, it seems to me what the Bush administration is telling us through the words of Tommy Franks is that now we have two reasons to be afraid of terrorism, and that is not only the terrorism, but then the government is going to subsequently follow up and terrorize us by taking away more of our liberties and turning us into a military state. So now they're telling us, let us take away your liberties so you don't have to be afraid of us taking away your liberties.
They're saying, get ready, guys, get ready. You know, let's float this trial balloon and see what happens. Let's see if Americans freak out. If they don't, then we know we can pull it off.
And that's exactly what they want us to do. They've already shredded most of the Constitution with that Patriot Act, and now they want to shred the rest of it. And you know, all we need is a burning of the Reichstag, and they can get us. You know, I don't mean to sound conspiratorial, but
well, no, we've had the burning of the Reichstag, Abuge, and that was 9/11. And what Franks is saying in this article in Cigar Aficionado magazine is that one more of these Reichstag-Gebüge attacks,
right?
And it's all over. We're not a democracy anymore. And I hope he is wrong. And I hope that there is a serious backlash to this thing.
Well, you know,
this,
they're trying to pass the Patriot Act too, and maybe they're telling us, look, go ahead and let us take away more of your rights, so that way we don't have to reduce ourselves to a military dictatorship. Just let us be like a military dictatorship without the soldiers marching down the street.
Well, this is the thing I opened the program with 2.5 hours ago and asked our listeners to call their senator or the congressperson, area code 202-224-3121, the phone number into Congress, and you can simply ask for your elected representative and let people know, hey, we don't want the Patriot Act expanded. Thank you very much. No. And if this country comes under attack, democracy will survive. Democracy is so powerful and so resilient. And I have to believe that Tommy Franks is just gone off his rocker.
I think that whole administration, the original reason that I called is because you brought up this hyped up over coverage of Michael Jackson and all stuff. Tom, it is just another example of how the conglomerate corporate media does not serve the public interest at all. It's our airwaves. We should have the right to be served properly by the news media.
Yeah, although who defines what's properly? I mean, if 90% of Americans would rather know about Lacey Peterson than know about Medicare, what should the media do?
Well, the thing is that I don't really think that's the way it is. I mean, with a marketing survey, you can prove anything. And if you hype anything up long enough, you can get people to tune in. I think that there should be some time set aside by the corporate media where the public interest is really addressed.
I absolutely agree, Robert. We need to go back to the laws that we had back when I started in broadcasting in 1968. When I was first, actually, 1967 was the first year that I was on the air in commercial radio, WITL-AM-FM, Lansing, Michigan. And back then, we had to run community service announcements. We had to provide balance we had a 2-hour talk show on that station, the Chuck Drake Show, that was basically a community service. It was to provide information. But the other thing, though, Robert, that I think is missing from your equation is public radio. Most mature democracies around the world, in Germany, Radio Deutsche Welle, in England, the BBC, in Australia, ABC. I've actually been on ABC in the Australian Broadcasting Corporation in Australia, nationwide. I've been on BBC many times, actually, in the UK. And these are sponsored by the government because they understand that if you just leave it up to the corporations, they will just pander to the Jerry Springer era, you know, end of the audience, the demographic that's going to buy the most stuff, and news won't be served. And so in the interest of democracy, not just reflecting the needs of the free market, but in the interest of democracy, there has to be an agency which is funded by the government but not controlled by the government.
Absolutely.
Which will provide unbiased news. And that's, in the United States, that's the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And in my opinion, another one of the very destructive to democracy things that the cons are trying to do is destroy the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, NPR and public television, and defund it. And we need to also, you know, make our voices heard there.
Am I
frankly
wrong?
And here I am on commercial radio saying that, but I believe it.
Am I wrong to say that that part of this free trade of the Americas, NAFTA, and all free trade agreements that the United States is trying to get sanctions against other countries that subsidize public broadcasting? Isn't that part of these agreements?
I hadn't
they're
seen
trying
that.
They're trying to work them into these agreements? I believe I read that somewhere. I'm not sure which magazine, but it seems like one of the magazines that I get, you know, either Mother Jones.
I don't know. I've got five articles here on FTAA that I was going to get into in this hour. It's gotten by us, but I've read quite a bit about it this morning. I haven't seen that, Robert, but I'll keep an eye out for it. Robert, I got to move on. We got four other folks here on hold in just a few more minutes in the program. I appreciate your call. Thank you very much for calling in. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Brian in Los Angeles, California is on the line. Hey, Brian, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm alive and well. What's up?
Oh, I just wanted to touch upon your subject about radio. I'm fortunate enough to have a Pacifica station here in L.A., so I do get have an alternative, but I like to scan the AM side and see what's on, and basically there's nothing progressive there. It's, for the most part, all the right-wing misinformation.
Yeah, I think that's going to change, Brian.
I hope so.
It is happening all across the United States. I think that what happened was Rush came along with, and I want to give him credit. He's a very competent entertainer, and he also has a worldview, which I strongly disagree with, but which is relatively coherent. In other words, he has a take. And he came along and he did a really good job and produced a program that got a following. And so everybody said, hey, this is cool, this works, let's do it just like Rush. And they thought that they had to imitate his politics as well. And so, it's just the herd mentality in business. And so the radio industry is all, this right-wing herd. And now they're starting to wake up to the fact that more than half of Americans who voted for Al Gore or Ralph Nader. I mean, more than half of them. And they're not being served by all this right-wing radio. And that's why the programs like this program are being picked up by radio stations all across the United States in increasing numbers. And I just see this as, the pendulum swinging back and forth, and it's gonna re-regulate itself because we've been so out of balance for the last 8 or 10 years in particular. It's gonna come back, Robert, Brian, I'm sorry, trust me, it's happening. I'm in the industry, I'm seeing it.
Well, that's a good thing to hear. One more thing, Tom. I think about media, and, I've been paying more attention to it lately, and I wonder if, the majority of Americans who watch the news and see what is presented to them have the impression, they trust the news organization and they think that what they're being presented with is what's happening. And I'm talking the celebrity stuff that we're seeing now. But you've got to know. Number one, to me, you've got to know that you've got to go to conflicting sources of news to really get a good idea of what's going on.
Yeah, we need a marketplace of ideas. We have to have. Well, in our chat room now, the folks were talking, and one of the folks was talking about how last night they were flipping through the channels, and here was on CNN the thing going on in England, and on MSNBC or whatever, some discussion about politics, and on ABC some discussion of the news, and they go to Fox, and here's Sean Hannity going on and on about Michael Jackson's genitals. You can pick. It's out there. I mean, it's so anyway. Brian, I've got to move on. Thanks for the call and your comments there. 1-800-TALK, yes, sir, number. Margaret in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Margaret, welcome to the program.
Oh, God, I hope I have a chance to tell you. I wanted to tell you about Medicare and the AARP. It may not be what you're all talking about, but I just tried to call them to find out exactly who it was that gave up our membership and the idea of all the members to the Republican health care thing. And all I got was an operator. I didn't want to talk with her. She transferred me to a supervisor. And she said, we're taking all calls. And I said, well, that's like the White House. They say they'll give the messages to the president, and I wonder whether anyone gets it. She gave me the names of the presidents and everything. And then she said, I said, who's doing the lobbying for the people who join our members of AARP? She said, well, it's the Washington, D.C. office. So she gave me the number, and I called the number in Washington, but instead of getting Washington, I got an operator in Florida, and she ended up by telling me that the line, there was a disturbance on the line, and they couldn't give me the lobbying division.
Yeah. Well, Margaret, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm absolutely opposed to the health care programs that they're putting up before Congress, and I think the Medicare program they have now is just fine. And whatever's happening to this country with through the Republicans, you can't even get to anyone within the organization. All you get is recordings where they're going to give messages to whoever's going to listen, and you don't know if they just pick them up and throw them away.
I absolutely understand, Margaret, and I recommend that, and I not only recommend, you did it. I mean, it is so important that AARP members call the AARP and say, listen, William D. Novelli, who is the president and the executive director and CEO of the AARP, who wrote the preface to Newt Gingrich's book, and you want the name of the guy who sold out AARP. It's William Novelli.
That's what I asked for.
Okay,
and
well,
I
here's his name, William D. Novelli. Sorry.
Well, no, I asked. I said, what is that man who sold us out? I said, speaking for the members, I said, is he a Republican? So anyway, they gave me the lobbying firm in Washington, but I got Florida.
You
can't get anybody.
I know, it's outrageous.
We can talk with you.
But keep calling them and keep registering your protest, because they need to figure out that their members are interested in more than just buying health insurance or life insurance from them or health insurance coverage to fill in the gaps of Medicare, that they really should be an advocacy group. Thank you, Margaret, for the call. I appreciate your calling in and sharing that with us. And we did an hour on this yesterday, and we've talked about it several times this week, and I absolutely agree with you. 1-800-TALK, yes, Jerry in North Carolina. Jerry, we got about a minute left here. What's up?
Got a quick question for you.
Okay.
I sent you an email about 10 days ago about Brent Bursey.
Yes.
Brent Bursey, excuse me. Did you find any information? Is that trial going on? I can't find a word about it in the news.
I forwarded that to Louise and Joe, our producers, and asked them to follow up on it, and I haven't heard back. As soon as I find out what's going on, I'll let you know.
Thank you. Hey, do you know what his website is?
I don't think that Brent Bursey has a website.
Okay, I thought he does.
But you might want to plug his name. It's Brett, as you said, without an N, and Bursey, B-U-R-S-E-Y. You plug his name into Google and in their news area, and you may find something. We'll track something down, and I'll talk about this on Monday. We'll find out. Jerry, thanks for the call. Roy in New Orleans, Helen in Alabama, Frank in Illinois. Hang on, we'll try and get the right after this break.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation, but how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil. The nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold. Medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com for The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run your attack. We need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Will you come down from your ivory tower? You will see how it really would be.
Welcome back. Exposing the con and conservative, it's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Apropos to Margaret's comments, saying she was stunned and offended, U.S. Representative Congressperson Lois Capps yesterday resigned from the AARP to protest the organization's endorsement of a prescription drug bill before Congress. Good on her. She's our hero of the day. And you, Margaret, are also our hero of the day for calling AARP and registering your protest. Helen in Alabama. Helen, and we got Frank in Illinois also on the line. Helen, we got about 2 minutes left here. Oh, before I take this call, let me just say our program produced by Joe McPherson in Atlanta and Louise Hartman here in Vermont. And the board operators today have been Steph Stryker running the board for the first couple hours and John Lucas here toward the end. Now, Helen in Alabama, what's up?
Well, when I heard the comment about a military government, it scares the socks off me. I lived in Guatemala for many years.
Yeah, you know what it's like.
And it just is not very good government. I think it's time we all continue to call, as you said, and keep recruiting other folks to call and also demand that the media give us better information on better things and keep working on developing critical thinking skills in folks that aren't really using their brains as efficiently as they should.
Amen. And one final thing. Don't overlook writing a letter to the editor of your local newspaper. Oddly enough, I know several national politicians, and they actually read the letters to the editor section carefully to find out what people are thinking.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great. Helen, thank you for the call, and thanks for your comments. Frank in Illinois is on the line. Hey, Frank, you're wrapping up the show here. What's up?
Pick up your discussion on labor unions.
Okay.
I couldn't get in there, and I just want to make a couple comments. I've been in and out of labor movement all my life, and I think...
Okay. Got about a minute.
I think the issue that you're going to raise on Human Rights Day is good. But I think while we're looking at the labor movement, I think we ought to look at the universities from the Board of Trustees on down. It seems the higher you go to the academic ladder, the more the resistance of labor unions.
You're
and
right.
I'm wondering what type of teaching is going on and what type of democratic theory and ideas are coming out of our institutions when it talks about labor unions.
Now, excellent point, Frank. Excellent point. Frank, I'm sorry I got to stop you there because we're at the end of the show, but you're spot on right. And it's not just our universities. We're not teaching labor practices and labor history in our high schools either. And you look at the newspaper, there's a business section. Is there a labor section? You hear the Dow Jones. Are you hearing the status of labor? No, we need to be speaking up about these things as well. Let's change America. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Thanks for listening. Join us again on Monday, same time, same place.
Exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't.